Today's daf is Yuma Daf Ayin Zayin, and we are five lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis. Mai Va'ani Basi B'dvarech. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalem of Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, of Vadya Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Dvora Bas Mecha, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Eliyoze Ben Brindel, Mordechai Tzvi Ben Fradel, Sarah Bas Batya, Rafal Yaakov Ben Rachel Chava, Aryeh Eliezer ben Malka, and Baruch Bendit ben Devorah Hinda. Today's daf being learned as a schus v'yecheskel shraga ben Miral, and today's daf being learned le'ilui nishmas Avram ben Yibodol l'chaim toivim remoishe chayim. So we're in the middle of discussing the first line of the last parak of Masechtas Yuma, which lists the chamisha inuyim that one has to observe on Yom Kippur. The perek began with the words Yom HaKippurim, Shiv Aser Ba'achila, Ubishtiya, Uberechitza, Ubesicha, Ubeneilas HaSandal, Ubetashmesh HaMita. And those six things are what are known as the Chamisha Inuyim. And the Gemara said, how could six things be known as the five Inuyim? Shtiya is Bechal Achila. Two of them are Achila and Shtiya, which are really one. As a result, it's Achila and Shtiya. Rechitza, Sicha, Ne'ilas HaSandal, and Tashmish Amita. And the Gemara is in the midst of going through how it is we know that these five things are quote-unquote inuyim. Meaning, how do you know if somebody doesn't eat, he's considered to be in a state of inuy? If somebody doesn't bathe, he's considered to be in a state of inuy. Sicha, Ne'ilas HaSandal, Tashmish Amita. And as we've very clearly noticed, as the Gemara is going through its process of explaining this, it's digressed. And to this point, we've had three primary digressions. Number one, the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Chatzi shir is asim in HaTorah, or chatzi shir is mutim in HaTorah, and it's only asim in Rabbanan. The second digression, which was a longer digression, was the Parshas Haman. The third digression was a little bit of Divrei Agada related to Yayin. Yayin, depending on whether you're Zoicha or not Zoicha, can be the greatest drink in the world. Rava attributed so much of his success in Torah to wine. Chamra v'reichani pikchin. That's what caused me to be such a pikeach. But then again, Yayin is called Yayin because it brings Yolala to the world. Yayin is called Tiroi, Shekola Mizgaraboy, Nasis Rosh. The Gemara now is going to make another digression. This one's going to take us for the majority of Daf Ayin Zayin Amid Aleph, and this is a digression that's way above our pay grade. The Gemara is going to tell a story about where Gavriel, as in the Malach Gavriel, was instructed to do something. Kaviyachol, he didn't do exactly what he was told to do. As a result, he got punished. But just in order to frame the Daf so that we can at least follow the paper trail and understand the words al kopon of what the Gemara is about to do, is the Gemara was bringing the makar of how you know sicha is considered an inuy. Meaning, if a person has to be in a state of inuy, it means he wouldn't be able to smear his body with oil. And the Gemara learned it from a pasuk in Daniel. The pasuk says that when Daniel saw that Koresh had halted the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, so he took it upon himself to fast. Or, more accurately, he took it upon himself to be in a state of inui. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Eli, al tira Daniel, kimin ayoim harishan ashenosatas lubcha lahavin ulehis anois lufnei olekecha nishmu dvarecha." And the Malach Gavriel came to Daniel and he told him that, "I want you to know, Hakadosh Baruch Hu watched your inui. He watched your pay." Now, what does it have to do with our sugya? Because when Daniel listed all the things that he didn't do, he said, "Lechem chamuda isleo chalti ubasa v'yayin loy baalpi v'soich loy sa." So Daniel was in a state of inui. He didn't smear his body with oil. Sicha is bichlal inui. At the end of Gavriel's statement that he made to Daniel, meaning after he told him that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching everything that you're doing and everything that you're praying for is being answered, that Gavriel then told Daniel, "I want you to know, v'ani basi bidvarech. I came on your account." So today's daf begins with a question, and that is, "May va'ani basi bidvarecha." What did Gabriel mean when he told Daniel, "Va'ani basi bidvarecha"? So again, we're mentioning this mamish agav because the pasuk was pertinent to the makar that sicha is one of the inuyim. But once we mention the pasuk, the Gemara does what it often does, and that is, let's see if we can understand the entire pasuk. And really, the last words of the pasuk are very cryptic. Vani basi bidvarecha. What did he mean to say? And the Gemara now is going to take us down a road that, like the Chassam Sofer in yesterday's or 2 days ago's raid, which was Divrei Agada. If you understand it superficially, it's Moshe Chatzalev. If you understand it on a deeper level, it's Rava de Ravin, and it's the deepest of the deepest of Torah. So this Amud that we're about to learn is something that on a superficial level is definitely interesting and fascinating. It's Moshe Chatzalev, clearly these deeper meaning that's above my pay grade. Either way, it's Okti Gemara. So what did Gavriel mean when he told Daniel Vani Basi Bidvarecho? In order to properly understand this, we have to now take ourselves to Yecheskel Perikhes. So the context is, it's circa Churban Bayis Rishon. That's the time that Yecheskel lived, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Yecheskel and he gave him Nevuah to see what was going to happen. Now, in this particular Nevuah, Yecheskel is planted in Yerushalayim and he sees terrible, terrible things happening in the Beis HaMikdash. And he's told that because of what you're witnessing right now, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Many, many Yidden are going to lose their lives. Ultimately, the Yidden are going to end up in Galus for an extended period of time. Now, the exact Avera that Gavriel is about to, that Yecheskel is about to witness, is Avodah Zarah, but the Pasuk is going to go into great detail. Says the Pasuk, Yecheskel Perikhes, V'shivim ish mizikne Beis Yisrael. So when Yecheskel was placed into the Beis HaMikdash, he saw 70 Yidden from the Zikne Beis Yisrael. These weren't Yungalite, these were older Choshevah people. V'yazanyo ben Shafan oimed b'toichan. And Yazanyo ben Shafan, he was one of the 70. Oimdim lifneim, v'ish maktar to be other. These were all Kehanim, they were priests, and they all had Keteris in their hand. V'atzara anana Keteris oilo. And the smoke of the Keteris was rising from the pans that they were holding. The pasuk says over there in Perikhes, Vayishlach Tafnis Yod, Vayikocheni Betzitzis Roshi. The Marsha points out that these two psukim seem to have been brought out of order, meaning the second pasuk really is the introduction to what we're about to say. So Yecheskel says that I was grabbed by my hair, Vatisa Isni Ruach, Bein Ha'aretz Bein Shemaim, and a Ruach came and it took me between Aretz and Shemaim, Vatavi Oisa Yerushalayim of Maris Alekim, and I was in Yerushalayim through a Mara, not literally, but through this vision, Al Pesach Shar HaPnimis HaPoinis Safoina, I was by the Pesach Shar HaPnimis, the one that's facing north, Asher Shom Moishav Seimel HaKina HaMakna, which is a reference to some of Avodah Zarah. So if we go through these two psukim again, but in the reverse order, see, Yecheskel says that I was grabbed by the tzitzis of my head, I was taken into Yerushalayim, I saw this Avodah Zarah inside the Beis HaMikdash. By the Shara Pnimis HaPoyna Tzafoyna, there's a Beis HaMikdash. And what did I see? I saw 70 Skenim. Yazanyo ben Shafan was one of them. And they're all standing with pans of Ketairish and the smoke that's rising from the Ketairish. The pasuk continues there in Yecheskel Perikhes. Now we're going in order. I was then taken into the Chatzif. I was standing by the Pesach of the Heichel, or more accurately, between the Ulam and the Mizbech, and there were 25 people there. Their backs were to the Heichel, and their faces were east. So if their faces were east, by definition, their back was towards the Heichel, towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was west. And they were bowing down. They were bowing down to the sun, which was to the east. As the Gemara, just to pause for a second, if they were facing east, so naturally their backs were to the Heichel. Meaning, if they were facing Mizrach, if you know the geography of the Beis HaMikdash, so you know their backs were to the Heichel Hashem. Why did the Pasuk have to say that their backs were to Heichel Hashem? It wasn't just that their backs were the Heichel Hashem, but they exposed their backs, and they were literally exposed in this very, very, very not nice way towards the Heichel Hashem. For your matrizin klape mato, and not just that, they were literally going to the bathroom and doing a dafka in the direction of the Heichel Hashem. So Yecheskel sees this. And then Yecheskel sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction. Omli HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Michael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to the Malach Michael. And he told him, Michael, tzorcha u'mascha. Your nation has sinned. And of course, the rest of the story is that every ummah has a Malach. And when Klal Yisrael is behaving the way they should, Klal Yisrael doesn't have a Malach. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Malach Kaviyachal. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't delegate the day-to-day of managing Klal Yisrael, but rather it's something that he does himself. Every other Ummah, every other Medina, they have their own Malach. Klal Yisrael doesn't. But in the worst of times, we do have a Malach, and that Malach is Michal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the Malach Michal, and he said, Michal, Sarcha U'mascha, your Ummah sin. I'm not the fun of some Michal, so Ribbono Shel Olam. I hear. But Da'ilu Toivin Shebehem, not everybody. It's true, what's witnessing right now is Geferlach. But at the same time, there are Toivim in Klal Yisrael. So no, base for the Toivim, save Klal Yisrael. I'm alayis, David Shebehem told Michal, I need Sayyidif, Oysim La Toivin Shebehem. No. I'm going to punish them, and not just that, I'm going to even punish the Toivim. The rest of that story is the Gemara Masach the Shabbos, Afnun Hey, where the Gemara says they should have been Meicha, and they weren't Meicha. So not only were the Toivim punished around the time of the Churban, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu started from the Toivim. That's the Gemara Masach the Shabbos. Regardless, Miyad, immediately, Vayomer El Ha'ish. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to the Ish, that's Levush Habadim, that was wearing Big Day Bud. He was wearing linen clothing. And when you refer to a Malach that's wearing Big Day Habadim, it always means the Malach Gavriel. So Vayomer, he said, Boy El Benas LaGalgal. Go to this area between the Galgal, El Tachas LaKruv. Yeah, we don't know what this means, but underneath the Kruv, the Kruvim in this sense are not the Kruvim that were on top of the Arim. But this is a synonym for Malach. So go underneath the Kruv, Umalich of Necha, take a Maloi Chofnov, like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, of Gachle Eish, of coals, Mi Beinois La Kruvim, from the Kruvim, Uzroik Aloir, throw it on Yerushalayim, Vayovoi Le'enai, and then come back to me. Miyah, the Pasuk says, what did Gabriel do? Vayishlach HaKruves Yadai. Instead of Gabriel going and taking the coals from the Kruvim, he had the Kruv, which was one of the malachim, handed to him. So when he got it, it was already a klisheni. L'sadar asa'oizen. He didn't take it directly, but it came through this klisheni. So v'yishlach ha'kruv ha'ziyadim mi'beinus la'kruvim elo'ish asher beinus ha'kruvim. V'yiso v'yitein al'chofnei levush abadim. He put it into the maloi chofnov of the Kohen Gadol. V'yikach, he took it, v'yetze, and he left. Omer Rab Chana bar Biz, Omer Rab Shem Chassida. Il mali lo'y netzta'anu g'cholim. Had Gavriel not done what he did, meaning had he not waited until these coals cooled off a little bit, mi'yadah shel kruv li'yadah shel Gavriel, and it cooled off when it went from the hand of the Kruv to the hand of Gabriel. This is a euphemism, not the Soinim of Yisrael. But the Bnei Yisrael, they would have been completely wiped out. It wouldn't have been possible for the Yidden to have survived. Meaning the coals would have been so hot, whatever that means in a spiritual sense, that the Yidden couldn't have survived the Churban. Ksiv, Pasuk then says, so this is Gavriel. He comes back to HaKadosh Baruch and he says, Osisi kasher tzivisani. He says, Rebbeinu Shalom, you told me to report back. I'm reporting back. Osisi kasher tzivisani. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So this is in brackets, really, a whole half of Amid, but brackets usually means you're supposed to learn it. Parentheses, we would have skipped it, but brackets were doing it. So Rabbi Yochanan said, so at that time, they told Gavriel that he has to leave the mechitzas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umachyu shitin pulsi denura. And he got Malkus. He got 60 Malkus. Incidentally, whenever you find Malkus in Bezin Shalmaila, it's 60. So Bidei Adam, Malkus is always 39. It's Arbaim Chasar Achas. But Bishamayim, it's always 60. And the Cheshbon is, it's three times the age of when a person becomes a Bar Oinshin. So Bidei Adam, a person becomes a Bar Oinshin when he's Bar Mitzvah, when he's 13. 13 times 3 is 39. That's why the Malkus are always 39. But Bidei Shamayim, a person becomes a Bar Oinshin when he's 20. Rashi in the beginning of Parashas Chayesar. So you become a Bar Oinshin when you're 20. 3 times 20 is 60. That's why Malkus and Shemayim is always 60. So they gave Gavriel Malkus, 60 Malkus, the Pulsa Denur. Amrulei, they told Gabriel like this, Ila Yavdis, La Yavdis. Had you not obeyed what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do, meaning you would have told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to be the one that's going to go pour these coals on top of Yerushalayim. I'm not going to cause all this destruction to happen. So they told him, no, had you done that, Beseder. But Ila Yavdis, if you're already listening, I'm Ila Yavdis, Kedavak Tuch. So how come you didn't do it the way you were supposed to do it? The oid, and not just that, the avdis leslach. Don't you know emeshivan al kalkola? Don't you know you're not supposed to ever say that I did and mission accomplished when the mission was to do a bad thing? So they had two tainas on Gavriel, not the tainas you would have thought, right? What would we have expected the taina to be? Gavriel, you didn't listen. Because Baruch Hu said, do one thing, and he didn't do exactly what he was told to do. But that wasn't the taina. Two tainas, not the more obvious one. First one was that if you don't want to do it, memela, but to do it and not do it the right way, that's what we don't understand. V'oid, and not just that, what happened to Emesh Shivan al-Kalkola? You should not have reported back. You shouldn't have said, Asisi kasher tzivisani. That's the reason that he got Malkus, and that's the reason that he was taken out from Acharya Parga. Now, Gavriel has a very important position in the Olam Yisrael Yoinim. And because Gavriel was told that he's not allowed to be Acharya Parga anymore, so there was a vacancy. And it had to be filled. So the Gemara continues and says, I saw the Dubiel. So they brought the Malach Dubiel, who saw the Parsai. He's the Snar of Persia. And he filled the role of Gavriel. And he was the Malach in this role, whatever the role of Gavriel is, and it was for 21 days. I know the Chsiv, that's Pshat in the Pasuk of Daniel that says, Vesar Malchus Paras, Oymed Lenegdi, Esrim Ve'echad Yoyim. So Daniel says that the Sar of Paras was standing in front of me for 21 days. This is what it's referring to. The Sar is Dubiel, and the reason he was there for 21 days is because for 21 days he had the shteller of the Malach Gavriel. Vihine Michal Achad Asar Marishayim, Bolo Azrein, the Malach came to help me. Vaninoi Sarti Shom Eitzam Malchay Paras. But the point is that the part of the Pasuk Winin is that Malchus Paras, the Sar, was by Daniel for 21 days. This is the cheshbon of the 21 days. So the Gemara says, Yavale Esrim V'chal Malchay. During those 21 days, they gave Persia 21 kingdoms. So when a kingdom, a country, it takes over another country, it's because of something that's happening in Shemayim. So this is what happened. During those 21 days, the Melech of Paras got Rishus to be able to take over these 21 lands. Uparvasa de Mashik. And not just that, they were able to take over the port city of Mashik. Omar. Then Dubiel went and he said, Ksib Lili Yisrael Bakargo. I want you to write. He had a lot of protection right now. He was sitting in a very important chair. So he said that I want you to write that the Yidden should have to start paying me taxes. Kosfule. So they wrote it. Then he said, Ksib Lili Rabbanu Bakargo. I want the Rabbanu to also have to pay taxes. Kosfule. As he was about to sign it, Amad Gavriel Me'acharya Pargid. So Gavriel was outside of the Pargid right now. He wasn't anymore in that inner Mechitzas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Gavriel came in, the Omer, and he quoted a pasuk in Tehillim. Shav lochem mashki meikum me'achre sheves oichle lechem ma'atzovim ken yitin liyadidei shenu. This pasuk talks about the Talmidei Chachamim that harav and they schwitz in learning. And he would say, what, it's nothing? All of a sudden you're just taxing the yungalai, the chosh of the people that sit in and harav and learning. How do you have a right to do that? So the Gemara says, parenthetically, what does that line mean? It's referring to even the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim. In order to help their husband with their Torah and their learning, they're so supportive that sometimes they give up on sleep and they do things that ordinarily they wouldn't do, but they're doing it to support their husband's learning. So it's the husbands, it's the wives, it's the ganze mishpachas, mais nefesh v'Torah. St. Gabriel said, shav lachem hashkim yekum. This is nothing. The people that wake up early in the morning to learn, and the ones that are menada de shena, the ones that don't sleep, how could you just look away? But the Gemara says, v'lo yishkichu olav. They didn't listen. And they said, they dismissed the objection of Gavriel. So the Gemara says, so Gavriel turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, Rabbeinu Shalom. He says, I'm going to take one last shot. If you put all the Chachmi Umay Yisraelim on one side of a scale, Daniel ish chamudais bekaf shnia. Not Rebbe Elazar ben Aruch, and not Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkinus, but Daniel ish chamudais, he would be on the other side of the Kaf Mazayim. Wouldn't Daniel Ishchamudais have the ability to overcome? Meaning, Daniel is one Talmud Chacham, he's one rabbi today that he's greater than all the Chachmei Umay Sa'ilam. Come on. Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mihu Zeh Shemalam Mitzchus Albanai. He said, who is this person that's being Malam Mitzchus Albanai? Amru Lefanov, so the Malachim told the Eivishter, Rabbeinu Shalom, Gavriel. It's Gavriel. Amr Lehem Yavai. Let Gavriel. So Gavriel was trying to maneuver everything right now from Acharya Pargad, the wrong side of the Pargad. So it was very hard. Now all of a sudden he had Rishus to come in. Shenemar, that's Pshat in the Pasuk. And here we come full circle. This is what Gavriel meant when he told Daniel, Vani Basi Bidvarecha. I got to come back into the Pargad all because of you. It was Davka. Because I invoked your Schus and your greatness that I was allowed to come back into the Pargad. So the Gemara says, Amra Lohu. Leil, Ailu, so Gavriel came back in. So he came back in, he saw Dubiel. The Nakalili guard to be other. He was holding this piece of paper in his hand. So the Gemara says, Bolim Mirma Mine. Gavriel wanted to take the paper away. Again, this is the paper that says that the Yidden and the Rabbanim are going to be taxed. Bala. And Dubiel was afraid. He didn't want to lose it. So he took it and he swallowed it. Igid Amri. Some say, Michtav Haviksiva, that at that time that he swallowed it, he had written this Gzeira, Mamechtam Le Havichsima. wasn't signed yet. Ikidamri, others say, af michtam navi havichsim. It was signed. However, kidabale, when he swallowed it, machik like mine, it got wiped out a little bit, and as a result, the chesima was gone. Says the Gemara. Now you know the rest of the story. Haynu de b'machusa de paras. That's why you find this anomaly in Persia. Ikin de yav karga. There are times that some of the rabbanon have to pay this tax. Ikin de lo yav karga. And there are times that you don't have to pay this tax. And the reason is because there was a gzeira, and in one version it was even signed, but then it got erased. There was a mechika of the gzeira, and that's why it exists on some level, but it doesn't exist on another level. And now you know the rest of the story. But that's what Gavriel meant when he told Daniel, "Vani basi bidvarecha." He meant to tell him this story that because of what happened at the time of the Churban, Gavriel was removed from his position, and the Malach Dubiel, who's the Malach of Persia, was, and for 21 days he was able to fakoif so many tzaras. But Gavriel was able to come back, and it was all in the schus of Daniel Ish Chamuda. It's just one last line, and that is the pasuk says, "Vani yoytze." That Gavriel told Daniel that after Melech Paras goes away, there's going to be another Tsar that's going to be very powerful. His name is Yavon. And he said, Avi, Avi, the Lek of the Ashbachle. He was screaming and he was yelling. He says, Davishton, we need a way to give Zechanetza that we shouldn't have Tsaras from Yavon of a Lek of the Ashbachle. But there was nobody that was listening to him. And ultimately, Melech Yavon came out. Now, in order to really appreciate this, is this time when all this was happening, the Yidden were subjugated to Persia. And that's the Cheshbon of Dubiel and the Melech of Paras. And the Persian Empire was defeated by Alexander the Great, who was the Melech of Yavon. So this is happening in Shamayim at around the same time. Persia is going to transfer power over to Yavon. Again, this is like the Chassam Sofer said, Divrei Agada, Mitzad Echad, is Moshech Esalev. But Mitzad Sheni, if you're Zoicha to really understand it, obviously there's a lot of Soida Satira, there's a lot of Pnimiya Satira. The next words of the Gemara are Ve'ibay Yisema, which means we're in the middle of something. That is, we're in the middle of discussing the Makar to the Chamisha Inuim. So we had the Makar for Achila, and that is, it says, Vayancha Vayarivecha. Vayancha Vayarivecha, that suggests that Achila is an Inuim. How do you know Shtiyah? Oh, that's easy. Once you know Achila, you know Shtiyah. Because Shtiyah is Mechlal Achila. If we know Sicha, because Daniel, when he was in the state of Inu, he said, Lechem chamudois loyachalti, and he said, V'soich loyzach, I didn't smear myself with oil. Mar said, how do you know rechitza? So the first tirus of the Gemara was, V'soich loyzach, there's a double lashon. V'soich loyzach, what do you need a double lashon? One is for sicha, the other one is for rechitza. That's where we pick up, V'iba yisema. Nach ateritz, nach makar, how you know that rechitza is Inu. We learn from the following pasuk, a little more navi. The pasuk says, "Ulev Yasser Akoyin, Amr Hamelach." Ev Yasser Akoyin was a very important person in David Hamelach's malchus. And after David Hamelach passed away, so David had instructed that Shlomo should be the next king. But Adoniyahu, who was also David Hamelach's son, he challenged the malchus. Ev Yasser Akoyin was one of Adoniyahu's supporters. And because of that, he was a Merib of Malchus, and Shlomo HaMelech wanted to deal with him accordingly. Stating that, Shlomo says as follows, Ulev Yasser HaKoyin Omer HaMelech. Regarding the Yasser HaKoyin, so says the king, Anasos Leich Al Sodecha. Go to the city of Anasos. Ki ish maves after, because really you deserve to die. You were a Merib of Malchus. Upanyoy mazeh, however, today, lo yamisecha. I shall not kill you. Ki nasos es aroin, Hashem Elokim lefnei David Avi, and the reason is because you carried the Arim before my father David. V'chi hisanisa b'chol asher hisana Avi. This is what we need, and you were in pain together with my father. Now the context is that when David HaMelech was running away from his son Avishalom, so David HaMelech was on the go, and he found himself in very uncomfortable positions. And if Yasser HaKoyin was very loyal to David HaMelech at that time, so Shlomo HaMelech said that even though really you're married to Malchus, and really you should die, but I'm going to be compassionate. I'm going to look away. He said, today I'm not going to kill you because of the loyalty you had to my father. The second thing he mentions is, V'chi hisanisa b'chol asher hisana avi. That when my father, when David was in a state of inui, when he was running away, b'varchem ibn Avshalom b'noi, you were with him right there. Hisanisa as well. So what do you see from here? You see that David HaMelech, when he was running away from Avshalom, it wasn't just uncomfortable. It was v'inisem esnaf shoyseichem. There was an element of inoy. Okay, so now let's see what was David HaMelech's matziv when he was running away. V'ksiv, baby David. It says regarding David, ki amru, that the people that were running away said, ha'amroif, the people, they were hungry. V'oyef, quote unquote, v'tzameh b'amidbar, and they were thirsty. So there were three things. They were ro'ev, they were oyef, and they were tzameh. So the Gemara says, ro'ev means milechem, they didn't have any bread. V'tzameh means mimayim, like rav lo lechem, like tzameh lamayim. Tzameh means they didn't have any water. Oyef mimay. What does oyef mean? Lav mirachitza. Probably it means they hadn't bathed. Also, you see that bathing or not bathing is a state of inoy. Because you see, when David HaMelech was running away, it was v'chi. And what was David? He was hungry, he was thirsty, and he was oyef. What does ayef mean? He probably didn't bathe. The Gemara says, no, how do you know that? Vidoma, maybe what it means is menilas hasando. Maybe it means he wasn't wearing shoes. When he was running away, he didn't have shoes. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Yitzchak mehocha. So Rav Yitzchak said, some take out the word Ella, because Ella usually means it's a new tar. It's not the same. It's not a new tar. We're continuing with this train of thought. So Rav Yitzchak said, mehocha. I have a makar from somewhere else. The pasuk says, Mayim karim al nefesh ayefa. If you have a nefesh ayefa, if there's someone that's quote unquote ayef, kiv mayim karim. So what does it sound like? Whatever ayef means, what he's missing is water. Now, if ayef means doesn't have shoes, or if someone doesn't have shoes, give him water. If someone doesn't have shoes, give him shoes. So ayef obviously means someone that's in a state where he's uncomfortable, and water will give him what it is he needs. Oh, it sounds like he needs to bathe. Maybe it means he's just thirsty. He's not more passionate. Mayim karim, give cold water to a nefesh ayefa. Someone says, no. Miksiv bin nefesh ayefa? If it would have said mayim karim bin nefesh ayefa, so then it would be mashma, give him to drink, put it in his nefesh. Al nefesh ayefa ksiv. It sounds like pour it on his nefesh. Oh, pour it on his nefesh, says the Gemara. Must mean it's rechitza. And this is an Iba Yaseima. This is a second makar. And you know that rechitza is bechlal ino. So we have two makaras that both require a little bit of background in Nach. The first one is from Daniel Ish Chamudais. And the second one is from David and Avyasar HaKoyen Bevarcham Mipnei Abishalom Benoy. Says the Gemara. Okay. So we have a makar for achila, we know shtia, we know sicha, we even have two makaris for rechitza. Nila sasandal mi nalan. So up to number five, or four, how do you know nila sasandal? So the Gemara says, dechsev, we learn it from the same exact makar. Because when David HaMelech is running away from Avshalom, so it says, v'david oyla b'malei hazesem, he was b'malei hazesem, oyla u'baicha, he was crying. This is David HaMelech crying. V'roishna lechafoy, and his head was covered, v'hoylech yachvev, and he was walking yachvev. So again, we're describing David HaMelech running away from Avshalom. And we know that from Avyasar HaKoyen, that when David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom, v'chi hisanisa b'chol asher hisana avi. David HaMelech was in a state of inoy. And it says now that he was yachiv. Yachiv mimai, lachman ilas asandal. Doesn't yachiv mean that he didn't have shoes? So the Gemara says, no. V'duma misusio martika. Maybe yachiv means he was missing something, but not shoes. You know, David HaMelech was a king. Maybe it means he didn't have his horse. He didn't have his, all, everything that he used to carry with him, his whip. So maybe that's what it is that he was missing. Who said it's shoes? Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak. Again, no elo. So Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak mehacha. We learn it from the following pasuk, not from David, not from Daniel, not from Gavriel, not from Yecheskel, but rather it's learned out from a different makar. It's learned out from the following pasuk in Yeshaya Perichov. The pasuk says, "Lech upitachta hasak me'al masnecha." Go and open up the sack from your masnecha. V'nalcha tachloitz me'al raglecha. Okay, v'ksiv. And the pasuk says, "Vayaskein holoich aroim v'yachiv." That Yeshaya Novi did this, and he was yachiv. So the Gemara says, "Yachiv mimai." What was he yachiv from? So again, Hashem told him, "Lechu pitachta asak me'al masnecho, v'nalcho tachloitz me'al raglecho." And then it says he was yachiv. So it sounds like yachiv means no shoes. So lab minilas hasando, doesn't yachiv mean no shoes? Gemara says no. Ve'ema, maybe it means v'menolayim amutula. Doesn't mean no shoes at all, but rather what it means is shoes that are tattered. But maybe he is wearing shoes. You're like, hey, Malchiv, you're not going to say that. Aroim. He told him you should be Aroim. So you get, or it says Yeshaya was Aroim. Vayaskein holoch Aroim v'yachiv. So you're going to tell me Aroim means Aroim mamish. What? Yeshaya was walking Aroim, can't be. Ela b'pkadim edulam. It means he wasn't wearing nice clothing. Hachanayim no matulam. That's what it means, but doesn't necessarily mean that he was literally Elam Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak miyachas. Again, we don't have a makar. How you know someone not wearing shoes is in the state of inoy? So the Gemara says he can learn it from somewhere else. A pasuk in Yirmiyo. The pasuk says, "Mini raglech miyachateich ukroinech mitzema." What does this mean? Mini asrich menachet. Yirmiyo was telling the Yidden. He says, "Don't do averus because if you don't do Averis, then your feet won't come to a state of Yichuv. However, if you do Averis, you're going to end up being B'Yichuv. Now, what did he mean when he said that? He meant you get the Yidden end up going to Galus. And when people were taken into exile, they were stripped from their shoes. They weren't wearing any shoes. So if what he was saying was, Mini Raglech Miyachev, and Miyachev means no shoes. This is a raya that Yachev means no shoes. If Yachev means no shoes, let's circle back. The David Oyle B'Mali Azesim Oyle U'Baycha V'Roish Le'Chafev Hu Oylech Yachev. What does Yachev mean? Again, it means no shoes. So if Yachev again means no shoes, then that means that David HaMelech Bevarchem Avshalom didn't have shoes, and we know he was in a state of Inui, so that's how you know no shoes is Inui. The end of this drasha is, Mini L'shoinich Medvarim B'Teilim, person should be careful not to speak Dvarim B'Teilim, Kendei Shalai Yavui Groinich L'Dei Tzima, so that his throat won't come L'Dei Tzima. Again, like this, you won't be thirsty, you won't end up in Galus. Okta Gemara. Again, so we have a Makar now for Achila, Shtia, Sicha, Rechitza, and we even have a Makar for Nilas Asando. What we need is a Makar for Tashmish Amita. How do you know Tashmish Amita? Mita is associated with Inus. Okay, Gemara, Tashmita, Inamina, how do you know that the Chsir? Because the Pasuk says, and we had this Pasuk earlier in the Parak, that Lavan told Yaakov when he was parting from him, Im ta'anes benoisai v'in tikach noshem al benoisai. So he made a whole bris, a covenant with an aid, and he says, Yaakov Avinu, be careful, I'm asking you to make sure you don't cause my daughters any pain. Additionally, v'in tikach noshem al benoisai, don't take any additional wives to my daughters. So says the Gemara, what did he mean to say? Im ta'ana, he meant mitashmish, that you shouldn't hold back tashmish from them. The intikach, nashim al benoy said, what he meant to say was mitzaris. Don't take any additional wives. Those are both forms of pain. But you see clearly, im ta'ana, as benoy said, means no tashmish. The Gemara, how do you know that? You don't see it clearly. Maybe the ema idividi mitzaris. Maybe they both mean tzaris. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Intikach, the im tikach said. I mean, the Gemara's having, mean it was, maybe it was really telling him one thing. Im ta'anes benoisai, meaning pirish, im tikach noshem al benoisai. Maybe it's not two things. Maybe it's really one thing. So if the Gemara answers, if there was no v, there was no vav, im ta'anes benoisai, im tikach noshem al benoisai, so you could say it's a pirish. Im ta'anes benoisai, what does that mean? What it means is im tikach noshem al benoisai. But it says im ta'anes benoisai, v'im tikach noshem al benoisai. It's clearly talking about two different things. V'im tikach said. So the Gemara says, v'im idi v'im tzaris. Maybe they both mean tzaris. Or b'chad v'tzaris idei, b'chad v'tzaris, the asin l'malm. Maybe Lavan was talking about tzaris. He didn't want his daughters to have to contend with any other wives. So what he told them was, I don't want tzaris. But he broke it into two different groups. He said, number one, I don't want snam tzaris. Im tikach noshem al benoisa. That's really number two. And number one, he said, was the existing wives that you have, namely Bila and Zilpa, don't upgrade them to be from shvachas to wives, because that also would be a problem. So, Frank the Gemara, maybe im tana es benoisa. Im tikach noshem al benoisa. Both mean the same thing. They both mean tzaris. I, what do you need? Why do I have to say it twice? Chad letzaris didei. The chad letzaris. Asim le'me'am. The first one was letzaris didei. The existing shvachis, don't turn them into wives. And the other was letzaris asim le'am. Dimya deve'im tikach. And that would be nice, because that would mean the two things mean the same thing. So the Gemara says, mik siv im tikach ve'im ta'ane. Im ta'ane ve'im tikach siv. And the way Rashi explains is that if that's what Lavan meant, then what Lavan should have said was, first, don't take any additional tzaris. And then he could have said, don't make Bila and Zilpa into full-fledged wives. Because it would be more chomer to take in new tzaris. And as a result, he probably should have mentioned that first. But being that he did it in the reverse order, it's not mistaber that first he would say, don't make Bila and Zilpa into wives. And then he would have said, Imtikach noshen al benoisai, don't take additional tzaris. So it's not mashma, but that's what those two things are. Rather, must be two different things. Imtanes benoisai means tashmish. Imtikach noshen al benoisai means don't take any tzaris, whether it's Bila and Zilpa or whether it's anybody else. Al koponim, Imtanes benoisai is don't withhold tashmish, so you see, withholding tashmish amitas inuy. So if it says on Yom Kippur, v'inisim esav shesechem, five times, one of the inuyim is going to be tashmish amit. Omadi rapapa labayah, rapapa asked labayah, tashmish gufa ikri inuy. There's actually a pasuk where you find tashmish means inuy, meaning not withholding from tashmish, but the actual tashmish, the chsiv. The pasuk says that when Shechem took Dina, vayishkav oisoy, vayeaneha. Now he was ma'anis her, and as a result, that's Pasha pshad in the Lashon of Vayyaneh, but the Gemara's kasha is, you find Tashmish being the lashon of inui amalei. Sabai told Rav Papa, no hasam she inu mibias acheres. He says that's not pshat in the pasuk. The inui wasn't the actual tashmish. The inui was that after the tashmish, Dina wanted more tashmish, and Shechem withheld that. And that's what the Ya'anel is. Either way, we can exhale for a second because we just concluded the Mekairis that the Gemara brought for all the Zinum. So just the Chazar over. It says in the Torah five times the idea that a Yid has to be in a state of Inui on Yom Kippur. And from the five mentions of Inui, we learn five Inuyim, or we learn six that are really five. The first is Achila. It says, Vaya'ancha Vaya'rivecha by the month. That's why we had the whole digression related to the mon, and from there we learn that not eating is inui. If not eating is inui, on Yom Kippur you have to be in a state of inui. That's when we know that Yom Kippur you're not allowed to eat. Shtia, or shtia is b'chal achila. So once I know achila, I know shtia. What was the makarta shtia b'chal achila? We learned it from the parsha Ma'ase Sheni. Sicha, because Daniel was in a state of inui, the pasuk says, when he was fasting and he was putting himself into an uncomfortable position because of the halting of the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. And one of the things he didn't do was V'soich Leisach. As you've seen clearly, Sikh is also an element of Inui. Rechitza, so the Gemara had two Makaris. Either we know Rechitza from V'soich Leisach, the double Lashon, or we know Rechitza from the fact that David HaMelech, when he was running away from Avshalom together with Avyasa Kayin and his entire entourage, so he didn't bathe at that point. He was Oyef. Oyef means he hadn't bathed. So if he hadn't bathed, so you know from there that that's also considered, you know, Nila Sasando, so that we also learned from David HaMelech. Alternatively, maybe we learned it from Yeshaya Hanavi. There was a Makar from Yeshaya Hanavi. And then finally, Tashma Shamita, we learned from Lavan. Lavan told Yaakov and Ta'anas Benoisai, and we went was Tashma Shamita. Zok the Gemara, a braisa that's going to talk a little bit about Rechitza on Yom Kippur. Tanu Rabbanan, Asa Luchas Mitzvah Gufay, Gechol Gufay. A person not allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur, not his entire guf, not even part of his guf. If his body was dirty, then it's okay for him to bathe. So, you're not allowed to bathe, but if you're dirty, then you're allowed to bathe. A similar halacha. Also, halacha mixes gufay kachal gufay. You're not allowed to smear oil on a part of your guf, just like you're not allowed to do on your entire guf. If a person was a chayla, or he was dealing with some sort of ailment, then he's allowed to. And this is not something that you have to worry about. Now, you have to know about the whole idea of refuah b'Shabbos and refuah in Yom Kippur. That's in and of itself a whole discussion. But the point of this first braisa is that even though rechitza and sicha are aser, it's only aser derech tainuk. So if you're doing it as a tainuk, that's when it's going to be aser. But if you're not doing it derech tainuk, but rather you're doing it more because of a practical reason, then it's going to be okay. Tana de menashe, another braisa. A woman is allowed to wash one of her hands on Yom Kippur, and they send his pas latinuk, and give bread to a child. She doesn't have to worry about the Issa Rechitz on Yom Kippur. They say regarding Shami Azok, he didn't want to wash a hand before he gave food to a teenag. The gods threw all of them, they were geyser, not only were they geyser for him to wash one hand, but they were geyser two hands as well. Says the Gemara, my timer, what's this whole idea of washing your hand before you give bread to a teenag? And it's so important that you do it even on Yom Kippur. Amar Rabbi Mishum Shifsa. It's because of a Ruach Ra, a certain demon whose name is Shifsa. Now, there's Machlekes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, Pashup Shat, and what this Gemara means. Rashi says, we're talking about a woman or Shamay Azokin. You wake up Yom Kippur in the morning, your child wants food. You'd have to touch the food in order to give the food to your child. Now, to touch food before Negovaser is not recommended because there's a Ruach Ra that's Shaira on a person, and you're going to cause this Ruach Ra to engage in the food that you're feeding it to the child. It can be very dangerous. And that's what the Gemara means, that you're allowed to wash one hand Negovaser, and Shami Azokin didn't even want to wash Negovaser, even though he was serving food. Rabbeinu Tam has a problem with this, because Rabbeinu Tam says it's mashma, then you're not allowed to wash Negovaser in Yom Kippur. It's only for food, and Shami Azokin didn't want to, and it's only because of the shade. He says, no, of course you're allowed to wash it. So what does this mean? This has nothing to do with washing the Tilos Yadayim in the morning. This is a special sakana that once upon a time existed, that if somebody was going to feed food to a child, there was some danger involved. And the way to remove that danger was by washing your hands. And this was a custom. So we wash our hands before we eat amaitzi, right after you go to the bath. There's times you wash your hand. So there was an idea. Before you fed food, you wash your hands, because otherwise it's going to be a sakana for the child. Ayin Taisus, it's for a 4 or 5 year old child. Tosfos goes into it. And Tosfos says, well, how come this is not something that we're makbid on today? This is a very famous Tosfos. Yuma Ayin Zayin Mabez is something we've quoted many times. I'll read it inside. Umasha Oilam Ein Nazar Machshav Azeh. The reason people are not careful is if Yishnein Oysa Ruach Ra Shoyer Be'ilu HaMalchiz. Tosfos said, where the Bali Tosfos lived, this Ruach Ra didn't exist anymore. And Tosfos says, there's a precedent for this. We're not makbid anymore on Shifta. K'moyshe Ein Nazar. And just like when I'm makbid ala Gilui, on Mashkin Megulim, which is a huge deal in Chazal, Va'al Hazugais of Perak Arve Psochim thing, which is also a huge deal. So Taisa says, Al Tatama. Now we're not Makbid. This is one Gemara tucked away, Yuma and Zayin and this. There are things that Chazal really spoke so much about that brought down a Shulchan Aruch, but at the same time, we're not Makbid. Why? Because these Ruchas are not Shkiach Bizman Azeh. Either way, an often quoted Taisa says, that it's Nishtana HaTeva a little bit, even with regards to these Ruchos. And as a result, some of these Gemaras that even the times of Chazal were a huge deal, Gilui and Zugos. But Bizmanenu, it's not something that we have to worry about. Tanu Rabbanan, another Braisa related to Rechitza on Yom Kippur. If somebody on Yom Kippur is going to his Rebbe, he's going to see his father, he's going to someone that's greater than him in Chachma. If he has to go through a water, he's allowed to, up until his neck. He doesn't have to worry about the Issa Rechitza. What if a Rebbe wants to visit his Talmud? Is that also okay? So we mentioned the Talmud going to see his Rebbe. What about in the reverse? Now, the shaita is, mitzad echad, there's no mitzvah for the Rebbe to go to his Talmud. Mitzad sheni wants to teach him Torah, perhaps, reading and learning. So maybe it is a davar chashim. So the Gemara Toshma, Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Chan, Ano chazisi le'iri. I once saw ze'iri, the Azal Lagab Rav Chia bar Rashi Talmida. He went on Yom Kippur through water to his Talmud Rav Chia bar Rashi. So you see, a Rebbe could go to the Talmud. Rashi says, no, that wasn't the story. It was just the opposite. Ahu Rav Chia bar Rashi, who the Azal Gafi, the Ziri Rabbi. That changes everything. The Rebbe, Ziri, wasn't going to the Talmud, but it was the Talmud Rav Chia bar Rashi that was going to the Rebbe. Rava, Shara, Lebnei, Avri, Yamino, Lemneber, Bemayel, and Aturi, Peri. So this is the big Yechidah. So we have someone so far that's bathing because he's uncomfortable. He's meluchlach, betitu, betzaya. Right? He has tit on him, he has soya on him. So there's an idea of Reichitz Kedargoy, the inner chosh. Then we had washing your hand because of shifsa. So that's a ruch ra, that's a davashal sakana. We understand that. For a mitzvah, lahakbo pnei aviv, pnei rabbi, pnei mishagadum imenu, maybe even a rebbe to a talmud. Again, it's all in the context of mitzvah. Rava said a much bigger chiddush. Rava was matter, the people of the city Avar Yamina. So usually when Rava is talking to people in a city, it's the city of Mechuza. But Rava was also Rabban Shalkal Bnei Agoyla. So he not only paskin for his Gehillah, paskin for everybody. So this is Rava. He was matta for the people of Avri Yamino. Lenever b'mayo, lenture peir, to watch their peiris. There was some sort of financial situation that the people were worried about. This is on the Yoy Makadosh. This is on Vayera Vayibayka Yoy Mecha. And he told them, you can walk through water. Forget about not through water. Through water, he said, you can do it. I'm going to buy the Rava. So if there's Rava, there's Abai. So Abai told him, not Akasha. Tanya the Messiah. Whoa. He says, I have a riot to you. Right? You don't see this every day. Shemri Paris, even not Sabarim, but my people that are watching Paris, they're allowed to go up until their neck in water. They don't have to worry about the laws of Yom Kippur. Rav Yosef, a similar Al Chashodu, the Bnei Tarbu. He allowed the people of Tarbu, Lenever Maya, Lemesa Leperka, to come here a shir. Lemezel, however, leisharadu, but he didn't let them go back. He said, "You want to come, you can come." And now you're stuck. You can't. I'm like Abaya. So Abaya told Rav Yosef, "Whenever there's Rav Yosef, there's also Abaya." So he said, "M'kei, not the machshilin lasa lover." He says, "No, they're not going to want to come next year, right?" This is like the Hatzola Heter, which is even though in theory you should only be able to go to the call, not back, but. In Kain, nimtzat the machshilin lasa lover. In the times of Chazal, edus achaydish, right? There were different times where Chazal relaxed certain things. Because they were preempting the psychology of what someone may think the next time. Sambaya told Rabbi Yosef, I don't agree. If it's okay to go, then it has to be okay to back. Ikadami, some talk have a different version. That Rabbi Yosef was sharulu lemesi, vish sharulu lemesi. You let them do both. And in this version, again, Abaya didn't add a kasha on what Rabbi Yosef said. Amalei Abaya, vish shleimu lemesi, lachni, elu lemesi, my time. Rabbi Yosef told the kadesh they machshin and lost his lover. So we have two different versions of what Rabbi Yosef said. Hatzad Hashav is Abaya had a problem with it. And that was the terrorist. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, Avakami, Aguda, Denahar, Papa. Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, sounds like father and son, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, they were once standing on the banks of Nahar Papa, Amabore de Chatzstad. And they were near the city of Chatzstad. Avakami, Rav Rami bar Papa, Mehach Gisa. It's a little confusing. So they're at the Nahar Papa, that's the river of Papa, and they saw Rami Bar Papa of Adran fame, right? So Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yehuda, they're the two Amiram, they're on one side of the river. Which river? Nahar Papa. Which part of Nahar Papa? Must be a long river. The Chatzdad crossing. They see Rami Bar Papa, Rav Papa's son, on the other side. Ramalu Kala. So Rami Bar Papa yells out to the two tzaddikim, and he says, "Mal the mebel amesi legabaychon lemishol shmait. I'm a shayla. Can I cross? I have to talk and learning like this." So he said, "Can I cross the river to ask you a question?" Amalei Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda said, "Ravu Shmuel Damri Tarvayu the free digamay Ram." Right? Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel, so he knew what Rav and Shmuel said. So Rav Yehuda, Rav Amalei Yehuda Meshul. Right? So Rav Yehuda said, Rav Shmuel both said, "Oiver, you're allowed to." But just one thing you have to be careful of. Usually, if someone is going to walk through water, you're going to take your rakel and you're going to pick it up a little bit because you don't want it to get wet. So he told them, be careful and don't do that. Because if you do it, it looks a little like you're carrying it, and that's already a problem. So he said, midrabbanan, don't do that. Ikanami, some had a slightly different nosach. Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda. It wasn't Rav Yehuda, it was Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda. And what he told him was Tanina. There's a brisa over vachla yoytzi yadim mitachas chefes chaluka. So in the first gerusa was Rav Yehuda. Second gerusa it was Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda. But if you look at the Gemara more carefully, there's another difference. In the first gerusa it was Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda was saying over in the name of Rav and Shmuel. The second gerusa is Rav Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Maybe he didn't know what Rav and Shmuel said, but he had a brisa and he said it over as a brisa. Just one more Gemara. So the Gemara says Maska for Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef asked the kasha. On what? So we're going back to the braisa that said that a person's allowed to be mekabel pnei aviv, pnei rabbi, pnei misha gadol imenu, ad savare b'man. Bunch of coolies, braisas are big chedushim. But a person's allowed to put himself in this situation, and he's allowed to go up until his neck in water on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yosef said, you're walking in water that's so deep, it's literally up to your neck. This is not something that you should even do during the week. Forget about Yom Kippur when there's Chamish Inuyim, one of which is Rechitza. And he said, not just that, I have a source that it's not okay. And this is another pasuk in Yecheskel. So we're going to come full circle. We started with Yecheskel, and we're going to end with Yecheskel. You started Yecheskel Perek Ches, and we're ending with Yecheskel Perek Mem Zayin. Now this context of Yecheskel is something we saw a little bit about in Masechta Shkalim. So the pasuk is going to describe a nachal, a river, a stream that's going to emerge from the Beis HaMikdash. Lots of love. Zachariah talked about it. So this stream that we'll see a little more about in tomorrow's daf. But for now, just to start the Gemara. So it says, Vayomad Elo Ba'amos. Again, Yecheskel has Nevuah. And in the Nevuah, he finds himself Lots of love. And there's a stream of water that's coming from the Kodesh HaKodashim. And he measured 1,000 Amos. And the water was shallow. So the first 1,000 amos of this water wasn't so thick. It was me'af soim. It went up until his ankles. And he walked through it. And you see from here that it's okay that to walk through water that's up until your ankles. Then he measured another 1,000 amos. And the water started getting a little bit deeper. And that second 1,000 amos was up until his knee. He walked through it. You see a lot of walk through water that's knee deep. Then he went up. He measured another 1,000 amos and water went to his waist. After that, the water started getting deeper, and he stopped walking. Yecheskel said, this was already water, and I had no rishus to walk through. And we learn from here, you're not allowed to walk in water that's deeper than your waist. So how can you have a price that says you're allowed to go even on Yom Kippur at Savaroi? You see, clearly it's not okay. Amar Abaye. So Abaye said, no, you have to say, Shani Nachal de Redifi Maya. That was a Nachal. That was a river. It was aggressive. And because it was aggressive, so therefore it's a problem. But if you have a body of water, a still body of water, that's not going to be a problem. So returning back to Yecheskel's Nevuah, says the Gemara, Yoch Yavrena B'Sichoi. So you would think, maybe it's not okay to walk in such a Nachal. What if you want to swim? You want to float through it. Maybe that would be okay. Talmud Lomer, ki go ha-mayim me-sachu. Mayim me-sachu, what does that mean? Shiyuta, it means to swim. Shekein koirin l'shayota sayocha. Because you find, a swimmer sometimes is referred to as a sayocha. So you see, it's the same with Yochabren Baburnis. You would think, okay, water that's deep, is not okay to walk in, it's not okay to swim in. Or the water that's going to emerge from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you won't be able to walk through, you won't be able to swim through. But maybe you can go through a burni katana, maybe you can cross it with a small boat. Talmud Lomer, the Pasuk says, Bal Telech Boy Oni Shayit. That's what it says. And that's how you know no small boats. You would think a large boat, it's a large boat. Where do you see small boat and big boat? What does Pasuk have to do with boats? It's like the Gemara. You need help from the Targum. And who said Targum? Rav Yosef. Like Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was a big bucky in Targum. Tosfos says above a comment of Gimel on the base because Rabbi Yosef was a sagi nahar, he was a suma, and dvarim shebiksav iator reshoy lo imrim balpeh. And if Rabbi Yosef wanted to say psukim, he had no choice, but he had to know them. Either he couldn't say the balpeh, so therefore he had to know the targum, and that's what you always find in the targum Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said targum. It says loy baltelech by onishayet loy tezel be besvinas sayadim. Don't go with the fisherman's boat. That's a small boat. Uburni rabasni loitegazina. And the next words of itzi adaloyavirano, that's referring to a big boat, small boat, big boat. Bottom line is this stream you won't be able to walk through, you won't be able to swim through. Not a small boat, not a big boat. And then finally, I'm Rabbi Pazi, af malachamavis and the Rishus Lava, but even the malachamavis isn't going to be able to cross it. It says over here about Telech by Oni Shayet, Viksiv Hasim, and it says there, a pasuk in Eoif, Mishut Ba'aretz, and that pasuk over there is referring to the Malach HaMavis. So you see that even the Malach HaMavis will not be able to cross this water.